Lean to the left, lean to the right, stand up, kneel down, fight, fight, fight. At least that's what the only thing our readers want to do.
Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for October 16th, 2017. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
That's me, and thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Yeah, I did a thing on the kneeling at the NFL games, you know, football. It's an American game.
And people talked about it.
Yes, they did. Oh, my God. Did they ever. So anyway, I thought I'd do a series on it. My eventual conclusion, simply put, is I stand up for this for the national anthem. I take my hat off, put my hand over my heart. I was taught by a World War II veteran that's what you do. Period. And it's disrespectful to do anything else. Okay?
However,
I'm trying to keep this a family-friendly podcast, Janine.
Always
has to go there. But this and but that. Anyway, so on the other hand, I love this country. I love the Constitution. I love the freedoms that it recognizes and affords us. And one of them is to protest.
Correct.
And you have an absolute right to protest. I have an absolute right to respond to that in any way I see as appropriate. And so
you mentioned that in the strip and you had a few people like, what does he mean by that? Is he Second Amendment? Amendmenting here?
Are you like, serious?
Yeah, just a few people. It's like, it's a little over the top. You
oh, good
mean
God.
It that way.
Of course.
You're not saying go out and shoot people or
I don't think you should,
or
punch
violent.
People. Or yeah, no. Because violence is stupid. So let's just say, yeah, I have a right to not watch the games, go to the games, buy, you know, wear the jerseys, whatever. That's your right. Or you can buy the jerseys and go to the games and
Whatever.
That's the great joy and the great wonder of this country is that you can still, today, what time is it? Okay, as of 12:15 today, you can still do these things.
So far, yes.
So apparently we had quite a reaction, quite a discussion. So let's talk about that, shall we?
Well, the one where you said that Carmen says that she can criticize Winslow's protest, Darson54 said, tell that to the rest of the conservative snowflakes. To which Mark responded, you missed the point. This is about liberal snowflakes who can't handle criticism about their so-called protest.
Snowflakes here, snowflakes there. Pretty soon you're just talking about a blizzard of
Yep, you're pretty
BS.
Much talking about all snowflakes. Whatever.
Everyone is, they have their sensitivity meter up to like 93. You know, 1 out of 10. It's up to 93. This is, okay, you know what this is? I mean, this is a protest. I love the fact when people say, now is not the time. Well, of course it's the time. It's always the time.
Right. That,
and the games actually were a perfect time because guess what? We're talking about this stuff.
Right. People are watching it, discussing it. Not always rationally, but they are discussing it.
So what else do we got?
Let's see. You mentioned consequences. And Mr. Blott says, unless you are a right-wing speaker, then the party will come to your rescue when you aren't willing to take consequences for what you say.
I'm not sure what that means. I hear conservative speakers and I think of like the...
Well, I think because sometimes they're not allowed to even
speak. Right. Is that... Okay.
I'm thinking that's what it is and the party will defend that.
And that's wrong, too. And something kind of nice has happened. A university has come forward and said that they will punish any students who try to deny someone else's right to speak. And I can see, listen, you know, a neo-Nazi comes to your town, you should probably picket that.
Yes. So it's good to protest that.
Yes. They would not want you to speak your mind, but that's what makes you bigger. And that's where I think we've all lost our minds. No one is getting bigger here. And by bigger, I mean, you know... my views, and I'm confident enough in my views, that I can let you talk and disagree with me. And maybe we'll have a discussion. Maybe we'll have a heated discussion. That's fine, too. But at the end of the day, you respect my opinion. I'll respect yours.
Or not, but I'm not going to beat you up over it.
Yeah. Or on the internet. I mean, what else? What other comments do we have?
Well, I agree with this one. Freezer said, if one wanted to abandon the NFL because of the beliefs and or actions of some of its players, I'd judge hard anyone who's waited until now to make that judgment.
It's yeah.
Like we're going to judge them for protesting, but not maybe wife beating or other violent things, as long as they played
use,
well.
Shooting, yeah. Involved in shootings and
stuff
like that.
This is a pretty, I think, kind of a ridiculous issue to...
It is.
Get that heated about.
Well, it's always one of those things that why does this capture the imagination of people? Why does this rile them up when there are so many, 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 many things that should have that effect and
because
don't?
Because it's a hot button issue that's not quite that important. So if people feel comfortable arguing about it.
You know, this reminds me of very much is if you remember back in the late 80s, during the 1988 campaign, particularly George H.W. Bush and the flag burning issue.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. I mean, you have a right to burn a flag. I hate it. I mean, it really makes me mad. But that's, I guess, the point. But yeah, this has the same tone and tenor. It's kind of like a distraction. It's a smokescreen. And then that's what this president in this administration does is where you start to focus on, wait a minute, that he did what? And then he'll throw a
right
you know,
because if you're paying
here.
Attention to the NFL, you're not paying attention to him not wanting to give aid to Puerto Rico.
Well, that's been long enough.
Oh, they should be done by now, right?
Yeah. And he talked, didn't he recently say he had just recently had a discussion with the president of the Virgin Islands?
Yes, he did, which would be himself.
So you can't argue with that.
No. I'm sure he talks to himself a lot.
Actually, I want to bring someone in. Brian, can you? Brian Altimer is a serviceman. Are you still in the reserves?
No. I'm done.
You're done. Okay. How do you feel about the guys, the players kneeling for the national anthem?
I honestly think I respect what they're doing and the reason why they're doing it. You know, it's not a to me, and this is just my opinion. It's not a disrespect to the flag at all is the reason why they're protesting police brutality and things like that. So if people are going past what they're actually protesting, and I think that's the problem. People are not realizing that's why they're kneeling. I think once people realize that, then it's easier to stomach than, you know, nobody's going to just blatantly just do it because they don't like the country. If they didn't like it, they wouldn't be here. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
Okay, so as a veteran, you're not offended?
No, not at all.
All right. And you had how many tours? I mean, you're like...
I did 2 tours in Iraq.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So you're the real thing.
Yeah.
So, okay. I've drawn veterans. I mean, that's about as far. I did not serve. They didn't want me. I'm blind in my left eye, so...
Oh.
Yeah. This was back in the 70s when we were... I guess I could have invaded Grenada.
They're not protesting America. They're protesting things that are happening in the country.
Right. No, like I said, I think you have a perfect right to do it. I mean, the owners are going to meet this week, and I haven't heard exactly what they're considering. But, you know, what was it? 2 weeks ago, they were very, very supportive of the players. Now we're going to see if that... Because ad revenue, viewership, and everything can be...
And that's what really matters, is money, of course. Well, and as Christopher Shea asks you, well, as a free speech absolutist, I hope you'll come out against the owners and league attempting to squash the protests then. And do you also believe that those who oppose the protest have the right to lie and claim the players are protesting the anthem or flag instead of police brutality?
Well, Brian just mentioned that.
Right.
Yeah.
Because everyone has a right to do that.
I don't know what to say.
There's a difference, though, on whatever the owners do because it's a place of business.
It's a place of business. Here's the thing.
So
I don't know if Brian can. I cannot, because of our code of ethics, put a bumper sticker on my car that says, you know, I'm for Trump or Hillary or Johnson or any of those. Can you? I mean, do you have any restrictions? Do you guys?
No, not really. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's you know, more power to you. I just think that people should be able to, you know, speak their mind, you know, speak how they feel, you know. And as far as, you know, the NFL or any other pro sports, you know, those athletes are, you know, they're giving a voice to people that really don't have one, you know. And, you know, just to backtrack on the whole, not necessarily backtrack, but to bring back the whole police brutality, you know, if we didn't have camera phones,
yeah.
Now, you know, this stuff has been going on for a long time, you know, and I've been victim of it, you know, back in the late 90s. So I can just imagine, like, if I had a camera phone back then, you know, and the things that used to happen. But now with, you know, social media and camera phones, you know, all this stuff is being brought to light that's been happening. And in a sense, people, you know, that's not really exposed to it, they can't believe that the people that are paid to serve and protect, you know, there are a few, it's not a lot, there are a few that actually abuse those powers. So it's hard to, like, stomach that that person is, you know, taking somebody and either beating them or, worst case scenario, just shooting them.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what they're giving a voice to people that don't have one, you know, and it's kind of sad that, you know, in this day and age that people do not, you know, we have to actually have this type of discussion because it's happening way too often. You know?
And it still happens. And here's, I cannot for the life of me get my hands around. Okay, you've got the phone. You've got the South Carolina, although I don't think that case has gone to court yet. But you have other cases where the video is really, really clear what happened.
Right.
I mean, there is no question
right.
that the guy was running away. He was unarmed, whatever. And a police officer shot him.
Right.
And yet they're still getting off. The police officers are still not being charged. And it goes to a grand jury. And the grand jury says, oh, we don't see anything here.
Right.
What the hell are they looking at?
Well, like I said, in most cases, if you have an offender, you know, and that's the best way I can put it, you have an offender and they're breaking the law, there are certain, and I was taught this in the Marines, there are certain, you know, ways, you know, to de-escalate a problem.
Right, right.
And the gun should not be the first thing you reach for when you get in a confrontation with somebody. And, you know, I honestly think that, you know, some officers, not all, may need to be retrained in that, you know, as far as de-escalating a problem, you know, first, you know, I know in the Marines it was first verbal, you know, and then you kind of try to restrain or kind of, you know, calm that situation down. And the last resort is like deadly force, you know, but now it's like deadly force is like the very first thing that everybody does. But, in the streets of Chicago, you know, it's kind of different because, you know, a cop pulling somebody over at 2 a.m. and, you know, you don't know what that person is doing in that car. So I understand from their side the type of stress that they're under in that particular situation. So, I mean, it's a weird setup, you know.
It's a weird setup, but I think the prejudice has come to the fore. I think that and you're right. Without smartphones, we wouldn't see these things, and so that's what's leading to these protests.
Right.
And you know, okay, stop shooting us. Yeah. That seems like an okay thing to say. To me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm a snowflake. And I just, if I was in the same situation, I wouldn't want to be shot. I wouldn't want to be harassed.
No.
I mean, Ferguson's a great example of one of those peripheral issues. I mean, that the shooting there, horrific as it was, but what led up to it is that because St. Louis area, they're allowed to, I'm going to go off on a short tangent,
okay.
Just a little history lesson here, but it's important, is that these little communities, Ferguson being among them, around St. Louis, were allowed to incorporate themselves. So you have a little thing that's, what, about a mile and a half in diameter or a square, and they don't have any money because there's nothing being built there. There's no real tax base there. There's no, and the homes are middle to lower middle class, so the property taxes aren't very high. So, okay, how do you have, and you start a city, and you want the Ferguson Police Department, God knows why, but you want that. How do you pay for it? You stop people. You ticket people. So you have, like, outside, before the street before it comes into Ferguson, the speed limit is 45. You get into Ferguson, it's 20. Well, then they can pull you over. So, especially at the time of the shooting, I believe the population was split 60-40, African-American to European, and so every day you're pulled over. Every day you're stopped. Every day you get a ticket
that you can't afford.
Yeah, and that's how they pay for the city. Well, then the cops stop being law. They just become enforcers. They're like the mob enforcers. And so I can understand the anger of that community at this. And then the shooting happens, which at the time seemed cloudy. They didn't de-escalate. They escalated the situation. The police officers. So I mean, listen. Brian touched on this, and then I'll go on. And I'm sorry, go on a tangent. Most cops, I mean, there's a lot of cops out there who are good. There's a lot of cops who are, and they're the ones, they're guys and women who are going to stand between me and a bullet. And
right.
They do. But there's a handful. Stop the code of, stop the blue line of silence.
Right.
Stop the supporting things
Don't
that are
them.
Bad because, listen, you're a good cop. That is, you should be making twice what you're making. I mean, I'm...
And you should want these bad cops who give you a bad name out.
Yeah. So, I mean, is there something systemic in the system? Is there something wrong with the police department? Does it encourage people or to enroll and to become police officers that are, who have these, you know, brutal ideas? Then winnow them out and get them the hell out of there. So, anyway. Okay. Let's get back to wherever. So, protesting, killing... Yeah. Don't shoot me. That seems okay. I can be down with that. My pasty conservative white self. Okay. What else do people say?
We got a couple letters. Jane writes from Hawaii. Aloha, Mr. Stantis.
Aloha.
Your political cartoon, in my opinion, is the most balanced one of all that run in our local newspaper.
Oh, thank
today
you.
Especially resonated. This was the I stand for your right to protest. You hit my opinion right on the nose. Athletics have always been a unifying point with Americans, and to have a president royal our citizens in, my opinion, totally un-American. Both my husband and son serve for love of country and to preserve our freedoms. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. We have a president who, by the way, didn't get an NFL team when he wanted it.
Right.
So
that's
this
why
is
he
the
ran
impotent
for president.
Spoiled child again. I'm sorry. Go on.
Read that's me okay.
This. I've been talking too much.
Now Trudy writes. Dear Scott, I'm not sure what you were thinking of with reference to the NFL players kneeling during the anthem before their games. Contrary to spin and misrepresentation, they are not posting the flag or the anthem. In fact, they are trying to honor the ideals of the flag, especially liberty and justice for all. And
okay. I never said they did. I never said they were against the flag or the country. But
I think it's just because she said Carmen was upset. Because you had Carmen upset about it, so that means that represents you.
Right, it does. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I take off my cap, I put my hand over my heart. I was told that's the thing you do, and anyone else who does do that, it makes me angry. It does. And But that's the point of protest.
Well, we got two letters from John.
Oh, hi, John.
He started off with, there was a time when the comic section was different than the opinion section. No more. Prickly City in particular continues the offensive politics permeating the LA Times. I don't even want to read Santis's crap, lampooning Hillary Clinton, opinion, letters, news, in quotes, and even comics now. It's to cover leftist hate mongering. Attack Crump, sidetrack to Hillary just to break the monotony. You people are sick and getting worse. Then he followed it with, Prickly City cartoonist, in quotes, thinks it's just great that millionaire prima donnas shove their racist politics down the throats of football fans who just came to see a game played. Santis is a leftist jerk.
Well, okay, if you're going to insult me, at least get the name right.
Yes, you would think.
S-T-A-N-T-I-S. That's Stantis. Okay, you know, the comics section has always had political stuff in it, by the way. This isn't anything new. I mean, Gary Trudeau, of course, who does Doonesbury, has been doing it now for almost 40 years. But prior to him, there were other cartoons, one called Skippy, which was very political. Little Abner, very political. This isn't, as I said, this isn't anything new. You know, if you don't like it, don't read it. Marmaduke's right next to it. I'm there in the LA Times, and God bless the LA Times for carrying it, my strip, and Marmaduke. I don't want to be glib and say, but... You know, that's the type of strip it was launched. I think it's pretty clear. And
right.
If you don't want to see it, then, you know, Canderville is another one, another political strip. Even Pearls Before Swine is getting politics in it. So all that being said, I think any other comments you think we absolutely have to get to this week?
No.
Sweetie?
We're okay. Pretty much the same things.
Janine
discussing.
Sweetie, not Brian Sweetie. Okay. Well, listen, thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Thank you, Brian Oldtimer, and congratulations. Brian just got a new house.
Yay.
So it finally closed. I think that took, 23 years to do this?
Yeah, it did.
It sure felt like
it. Way too long.
Well, congratulations, and enjoy, and happy memories there with you and your kids. Janine, thank you. And thank you to WGN and WGN Plus. If you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen and Winslow, you're more than welcome to by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. Leave us a comment. Maybe we'll read it here on the podcast. We'll certainly read it. It will always be read, but we'll actually read it to our podcast audience. Or if you just want to email us directly, you're welcome to at pricklycity@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much. And until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.